Joshua chapter number 10 in our Bibles this morning. Joshua chapter number 10. I think every young man in his life goes through the I can fix this stage. Maybe not. A lot of the young men that I know have gone through the I can fix this, we can fix this stage. I remember my parents telling me a story. My older brother, who at a young age got a dump truck for Christmas. And so he went up into his bedroom, and our house had the old plaster walls, and he took a hammer and hit a hole in the wall. And he called his mom for his new dump truck and shovel that he got for Christmas because he had to clean up the mess. And my dad put some paneling in over there. A number of years ago, when I graduated from Bible college, you know, you don't have a lot of money when you graduate from Bible college, and I remember some time where I had to fix some things on the car. How many of you men have ever tried to fix something on your own vehicle? Let me see your hands. All right, look, ladies. Look at all these men here. All right. How many of you ladies have tried to fix something in your own car? Okay, that's good. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's good. Yeah, when you see the bill and you go, I can do this. I remember walking into an AutoZone once, and I asked the guy behind the desk. At that time, it was an alternator. I said, can I see an alternator? He said, sure. And he gave it to me, just three bolts. And I said to him, wow, how long would it take you to do this? He said, oh, about an hour. I said, you know what? I'm a college graduate. I can do it in 2 hours. It took me about 8 hours because I didn't have the right tools. But I did fix it. I did fix it. One time, years ago in a church in Indianapolis, I had a muffler that had an issue. Any of you ever tried to replace a muffler? It's just a little tube. That's it. I mean, I'm a college graduate. I can do this. Well, I remember the day that I set out to fix this muffler on this car. I was sharing it with a friend in the church the Sunday. The next day was Monday, the day I was going to fix it. And I was sharing it with this friend that was a mechanic. And this guy had helped me in the past. And he, of course, had to work. And he got off at 2 or 2:30 or 3. And I was explaining to him that I was going to do this muffler because I'm a college graduate. And I can do this. Any college graduate can fix a muffler. Well, I bought the muffler and got under the car, and for hours and hours and hours, I couldn't get the thing off. Now, back then, it was a stupid thing, a dumb thing, you know, all those adjectives. I could not get it off for the life of me. And I remember laying under the car, worn out and discouraged, and thinking, my wife's going to need this car tomorrow to drive, and here I am. When all of a sudden I heard something in the background, I heard a vehicle. I heard a vehicle pull into my neighborhood and pull right in front of my garage. And I got up from that car and I looked over the top of the car, and guess who it was? You got it. It was my friend from Sunday, my mechanic friend that worked for Coca-Cola. He showed up with his tools and he said this. He said, I thought by about now you would probably need some help. Do you know when a tailpipe or whatever it is and a muffler meet and have a relationship for a long time, they kind of become one forever. And all the banging in the world wasn't going to get that thing off. And of course, he had his nice torch. And within about 30 minutes, my help had arrived and my muffler was fixed. And I was very happy. Do you know sometimes life we can find ourselves discouraged, worn out, and in desperate need of help? When I look at this story, the whole book of Joshua, to me it is obviously, we know it is a historical account of what really happened. We also know that the nation of Israel typifies a single believer. And you see sometimes the challenges that we face, the ups and downs. The promised land, by the way, that we'll look at probably next week, well, the week after next maybe, is really not a picture of heaven. I know we like to think it is a picture of heaven. It is really a picture of victory. It is really a picture of the victorious Christian life. And as we look at these stories, I have been amazed with something that I have seen over and over and over again. Just when God's people needed the help arrived. Just like laying under that, I think it was a Ford Tempo at the time, banging till the cows never did come home. Help arrived just when I needed it. For Israel, for God's people, help always seemed to arrive just when they needed it. I want you to look at some verses this morning that I see a phrase repeated over and over again in John chapter number 10. In John 10, and I want you to look at verse number 10. John 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon." What do we see? We see the Lord delivering. We see the Lord help. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel," and we're going, and we're in the going down to Beth-horon, Joshua 10 and verse number 11, "that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them." Look at verse number 14 of Joshua 10. The Bible says in verse 14, "And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Look at verse number 30, same chapter. The Bible says, actually verse 29, "And Joshua passed from Makkedah, and all Israel with him, unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah, and the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof." Look at verse number 32. "And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel." Look at verse number 42. The Bible says, "And all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel." Turn over one page to chapter number 11. We haven't gotten into 11. We'll look at a verse this morning from 11. But again, we see the same challenge. Verse number 11 starts the conquest of Joshua into the northern Canaan, the northern area, the northern territory there. And the Bible tells us in verse number 8, in verse 4, the numbers of the enemies that they were facing was more than of the seashore in multitude. And we'll look at that again in a minute. And the Bible tells us in verse number 8, "And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them." As we look at Joshua chapter number 10 this morning, we cannot leave this chapter without taking a few minutes to look at the delivering power of God for His people. Again, as we met yesterday with the people from the organization that said, "Hey, we'll match you 3 to 1, as we did the calculations and we realized, wow, $87,000. I looked at this message that was pretty much prepared before then, and I recognized, wow, as we look at the delivering power of God for His people, is that not what we need as a church? If we're going to get into this building and get this thing finished, and we're going to be able to get this thing finished, we need God to deliver. But yet, as individuals, do we not face challenges in our lives? I'm sure every one of us could make a list of things in your life that you would say are big challenges. If we were to ask you to make a list of things that you're facing that are impossible, that you need deliverance, probably for some of us they might be similar, and it might be some health needs or whatever, but all of us would have a list, because we need God, and we need the delivering power of God. The Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is ear heavy can hear. The issue isn't with our God who is able. The issue often is with us. And as I look at Joshua and we follow his story throughout the book and we see the delivering of God, I have to ask ourselves this question. What is it about Israel that caused them to see God's deliverance over and over and over again? And I want us to look, number one, as we look at this chapter, I want us to see, first of all, God delivers, His help is available to those who are on His side. To those that are on His side. In Joshua chapter number one, we read the challenge of God to Joshua concerning His people. Joshua 1 and verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give them. Verse 3, every place that the sole of the foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. In chapter 1 and verse 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Now if you look in Joshua chapter 10, there are a number of passages of scripture, a number of phrases again in this chapter that I find helpful as we look at being on God's side. Joshua 10 and verse number 29. The Bible says, then Joshua passed from Makeda, and here's our phrase, all Israel with him. Verse number 31. And Joshua passed from Libna, and all Israel with him. Verse number 34. And Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him. Verse number 36. And Joshua went from Eglon, and all Israel with him. Verse number 38. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him to Debir, and fought against it. God's help is available to those that are on his side. And what do we see here throughout the book? We see throughout the book of Joshua, God's people fulfilling and going where God told them to go. As a matter of fact, if you turn back to Joshua chapter number 7, Joshua chapter number 7 is the story of Achan. But I want you to see what Joshua says in his prayer to God concerning why they lost the battle, the first battle there at Ai. In Joshua chapter number 7 and verse number 7, Joshua says, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall run around us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will that do to thy great name? In Joshua 7, Joshua's communicating with God. Achan had sinned. He took the stolen, he stole the stuff. And we've looked at this a number of times, and we looked at it a number of weeks ago. And God removed his blessing. We might say he removed his delivering power, if you would, in the battle against Ai because of the sin of Israel. What is Joshua's concern? Joshua's concern is for God's name. Joshua is concerned for God. We are your people, and your name is what is at stake. And as we look in chapter number 10, what we see is, we see all Israel. We see God's people united together, fulfilling the cause, what God had called them to do. And God's help is available when we are on his team. In Exodus chapter number 32, Moses made the statement that that chapter is the one that deals with the golden calf. They made a golden calf, and Moses came down from the mount and got the commandments there, and the tablets with the tablets, he destroyed the calf. But Moses said this to the people of God, who is on the Lord's side? Well, we have a hymn in our hymn book. Who is on the Lord's side? Do you know if God be for us, who can be against us? You're here today and you say, boy, how do I get on the Lord's side? Well, if you don't know him as personal Savior, the Scripture says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'd say, first of all, it comes when you trust Christ as your personal Savior. But you know, sometimes, even as Christian people, sometimes we can be living for ourselves. We can be on our own page and not on God's page. And really, I think it really sums down to one word, being on God's side. It's really the word surrender. It's really, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed. That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His name was J.L. Kraft. He had a small cheese business in Chicago. He failed and was deeply in debt. Someone challenged him and said, you know, your problem is you didn't take God into your business. you've not worked with him, said a Christian friend. The young man thought. He said, you know, if God wants to run this cheese business, he can do it. And I'll work it for him and with him. From that moment, God became the senior partner in his business. The business grew and prospered and became the largest cheese concern in the world. And his name was J.L. Kraft, who became the president of the Kraft Cheese Company. He said this, the only investment I ever made, which paid consistently increasing dividends, is the money I have given to the Lord. Hey, there came a point in his time where he said, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I tell you this, God's delivering power is available to those that say, God, here I am. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Secondly, as we look at Joshua chapter number 10, I want you to see that help is available to those who obey God's instructions. Chapter 10 and verse number 40. Now, we have seen this over and over again in the book of Joshua. In verse 40 of Joshua 10, the Bible says this, so Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed. Would you read with me the next phrase? As the Lord God of Israel commanded. We see throughout, by the way, God's blessing, if you go back to Joshua chapter number 1, was contingent upon their obedience, right? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, right? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Prosperity, verse number 9, of this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, God's help, his delivering power for his people, came to those who obeyed his command. And you see this back throughout. In Joshua chapter 9, one chapter back, in verse number 24, and they answered Joshua, because it certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses. We see that. We see the importance of victory. Now think about this. If the children of Israel pictures a typical believer, do you recognize that you cannot have victory in your life apart from obedience to the truth of the Word of God? Can I say that again? I've talked to people and they say, boy, I've got this sin in my life. I've got this sin issue in my life. I've got this problem. And the Bible says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have victory in your life apart from obedience to the truth of the Word of God. Why is it that they had the whole chapter number 7? Why is it that they had the hand of God was not on? Because Achan had disobeyed. And Joshua had to deal with the sin in the camp. And what happened? God delivered once again. Obedience, we've seen it throughout. As a matter of fact, I could have preached every chapter. 1, 2, 3. Every chapter, I probably could have highlighted Joshua and the nation of Israel's obedience to the Lord. Do you know it takes faith to obey? Because often God will say, you look at the children of Israel, Abraham, go to a land that I'll show you. We have a tendency to want all the questions. We have a tendency. You ever ask somebody something? You ever say to somebody, you available at 6 o'clock through text, you available through 6 o'clock, and you want them to say yes or no? But they don't. They say, why? And you say, because I have an idea. What's the idea? And you get all these questions. You know what I'm saying? What you doing? Why? And you get all these questions. That's kind of how we operate. We want to know. I don't want to commit to something. They might have me go skydiving. And I haven't done that in years. And I'm not. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is sometimes that's how we want to be. We want to have it all figured out. You see, Pastor, did you have everything figured out with this building before we started? Nope, not on your life. Do you still have it all figured out? Nope, not on your life. But I know somebody that does. and He's the God of heaven, and this is His church. And it takes faith to obey the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes you have to say to your feelings, feelings, get in the basement. We'll bring you up in just a minute. We have to do what's right. And you know, sometimes you don't feel like doing what's right. Sometimes inside your own being, you don't want to do what's right. And you have to say to your will, now look, Mr. Will, I know you don't want to do this. Anybody here by the name of Will? Good. I know you don't want to do this, but you have to do this. And you have to have a conversation with yourself. Why? Because I'll never have victory in my life until I get a hold of the facts, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And when I see this phrase in this chapter over and again, the Lord delivered, the Lord delivered, the Lord delivered. And I look at my own life and think, wow, there are areas in my life where I need to see God deliver. There's challenges that we face. And I look at Victory Baptist Church and I think we got a building and the challenges of our church. Hey, we need God to deliver. And I'm sure in your own personal life, you need to see God deliver in certain areas. It is vital that we obey. It is absolutely vital. You say, well, I wonder what God wants me to do. 6 years from now. Well, let me tell you this. Do what He wants you to do today. And tomorrow, wake up and do what He wants you to do tomorrow. And do you know what? If you do that in 6 years, you'll be doing what He wants you to do. Praise the Lord. Number three, I want you to see this. God's help is available to those who are on His team, to those who obey His instructions. Number three, and I've already alluded to this a little bit, to those that depend upon Him. Joshua chapter 10, and verse 8, the Bible says this, and we read this, and I won't remind us of all of these times. There are other times in the Word of God where the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear thou not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now, in chapter number 5, Joshua was facing five nations. If you flip over to chapter number 11, you will see in chapter number 11, the Bible says in verse 4, as he looked at the northern area, and they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. If you've ever been to the ocean, you know there's a lot of sand on that there sea. Have any of you ever tried to count the sand on the ocean? Great. Don't try it. Save time. Just get a cup of coffee and sit there and listen to the waves. It'd be a lot more profitable. Exercise. Verse 6, the Bible says this, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them. You see, there had to come a point in Joshua's life where Joshua was going to obey. He was going to obey, but he did it based on trusting the Word of God. And I've kind of combined these together for sake of time. Believe what God says. Hey, Joshua didn't ask a whole bunch of questions. He didn't text the Lord and say, how's this going to work? I'm not sure about this. Are you sure? God says, I love this too. It's like just when Joshua kind of needs that word, just when, we don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us, but I can use my imagination to picture the Lord looking down and saying, okay, right about now, Joshua needs to hear a word from me. So let me tell him, Joshua, it's okay. Don't be afraid. Just trust me. And then he's in the middle of the challenges, just in God's timing, God comes through and delivers. You see, faith pleases God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and this is where we miss it sometimes, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is a good, loving God. He is the God that created you. He is the God that wants to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't love you. Don't let anybody tell you that God is not good. You see, yeah, but there's some things in my life that I don't understand. That's okay. God is still in control, and God is still good, and we have to believe God. Now I want you to see number 4 real quick, and we'll be finished, all right? Number four, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want to do something I don't think I've ever done in 10 years. It's not a bad thing. I want you to turn to John 11, and I want to review some thoughts we went over on Wednesday night. Number four is this. Help is available to those that stay at it, to those that keep on keeping on for the Lord. You will see in Joshua 10, the latter part of that chapter, Joshua went to this nation, Joshua went to this nation, and this nation, and this nation, and this nation. But wait a minute. He had made some mistakes in the past. I mean, Israel did with Achan. I mean, they made this league with the Gibeonites. I mean, hey, they hadn't done everything perfect. But Joshua stayed at it, and stayed at it, and stayed at it. And God delivered, and delivered, and delivered. And God's help is available if we'll stay at it. In Joshua, in John chapter number 11, we all know the story. We read the story of Lazarus. Martha and Mary, they make a request for Jesus to come. They make a request and they say to Jesus, hey, Lazarus is sick. The Bible tells us that he was sick, verse number 3. And they think that if Jesus comes, that Jesus is going to heal Lazarus. And they knew that he could heal people. And the Bible tells us that Jesus delayed. Now, if you put yourself into Martha and Mary's shoes, you'll probably have the same feelings that they do. Here they are thinking, if Jesus would just come and heal Lazarus, it's going to be okay. And maybe as Lazarus was laying there about to take his last breath, they thought, well, maybe they held their hands and said, well, Jesus is going to come. Maybe he'll get here. Maybe he'll get here. Oh, he died. Mary's in the house, and Martha sees Jesus when Jesus comes, and you know the story. And I reminded us as a church with a few thoughts that I want to bring out now. It is important for us in times of challenge and difficulty that we keep believing God. The Bible tells us in verse John 11 and verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I can't help but wonder if Martha and Mary were thinking, I thought Jesus cared. I thought Jesus cared. He didn't come and heal Lazarus. And I challenge this Wednesday night, don't ever doubt God's love. He always will love us. We've got to keep believing him. God's purpose here was way bigger than Martha and Mary and the disciples. What he was seeking to do, look at verse number 15. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, to the intent ye may believe. He said to the disciples, he's sleeping. And they said, oh, well, sleep is a good thing. And Jesus said, no, he's dead. Oh, he's dead. Yeah, and I'm glad that I wasn't there to heal him so that you might believe. You look at verse number 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What's he seeking to do? He's seeking to help them to see that he can deliver even when somebody is dead. What a great God. But you know what? Our tendency sometimes is to give up before that delivering power comes our way. Think about Mary real quick, and then we'll be ended. Martha, Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus, wow. Jesus says to Martha, can you go get Mary? Martha goes back to the house, and she says to Mary, Mary, the master's here, and he calleth for thee. What if Mary had said, I ain't coming. Forget him. I mean, Lazarus is dead. It's too late. Now, I think Jesus would have come to the house and somehow got her there. But you know what? For us, sometimes, that's where we find ourselves. Yeah, not going to happen. I quit. I'm not going to. Jesus failed me. God failed me somehow, some way. But Mary gets up, and Mary sees one of the greatest miracles she had ever seen. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth. And Martha, Mary, the disciples, and others experience the delivering power of God Almighty. And I'll tell you this, help is available to us if we'll stay at it, if we'll keep on believing God. What a great phrase. The Lord delivered Israel. And you serve the same God, and so do I. God can deliver you today for whatever challenges you might be facing. And God can and is able to deliver us as a church. Lord, we love you. We need you. Lord, we praise you for the phrase over and over, the Lord fought for Israel. The Lord delivered. Thank you that you're the same God. Now, Lord, you know each one that you've brought here this morning in your divine providence. And Lord, you know the reason why you brought each one here this morning. And Lord, we don't think it was for you not to speak to hearts. It was for you to do what only you can do. So Lord, I ask right now that your Spirit would communicate with your people and you would meet needs. And Lord, I pray that as we leave here this morning, we would leave here knowing that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above, that you are able to deliver. Help us, Lord, to see the need to be on your team. Help us, Lord, to see the need to obey your word. Help us, Lord, to see the need to believe you. And Lord, help us to see the need to keep on keeping on for your honor and your glory. Your timing may not be ours.